Chapter 4. Leavings rare of rich and choice from your early tone and mold let me mourn. I, sorrow run, faded face, sorrow run. The riddle. I, stretching eyes west over the sea, wind fowler fair, always stood she prospect impressed. Solely out there did her gaze rest, never elsewhere seemed charm to be. Two, always eyes east ponders she now as in devotion hills of blank brow where no waves plow. Never the least room for emotion drawn from the ocean does she allow. The duel, here to time, you see, the glade is well screened, eh? Against alarm, fit place to vindicate by my arm the honor of my spotless wife, who scorns your libel upon her life and boasting intimacy. All hush offerings you will spurn, my husband. Two must come, one only go, apostrophe she said. That he'll be you I know. To faith like ours heaven will be just, and I shall abide in fullest trust your speedy glad return. Apostrophe ood. Hear him also I, and we'll proceed without more waste of words to warm your cockpit. Of the sorts take you your choice. I shall thereby feel, that on me no blame can lie, whatever fate accords. So stripped they there, and fought, and the swords clicked and scraped, and the onset sped, till the husband fell. And his shirt was red with streams from his heart's hot cistern. Naught could save him now, and the other, wrought maybe to pity, said. I did you urge on this? Your wife assured you, and he had better been that you had let things pass, serene in confidence of long-tried bliss, holding there could be not amiss in what my words might mean. Then, seeing nor ruth nor rage could move his foeman more now death's step thrall he wiped his steel, and, with a call like turtlet of two dove, swift broke into the copse, where under an oak his horse cropped, held by a page. LL's over, sweet, he cried to the wife, disguised, for the young page was she. Tis as we hoped and said he would be. He never guessed. We mount, and ride to where our love can reign a night. He's clay, and we are free. At Mayfair lodgings, how could I be aware, the opposite window eyeing as I lay listless there, that through its blinds, was dying one I had rated rare, before I had set me sighing for another more fair? Had the house front been glass, my vision unobscuring, could aught have come to pass more happiness ensuring to her, loved as a lass when spouseless, all alluring? I reckon not, alas. So, the square window stood, steadily night long shining in my close neighborhood, who looked forth undivining, that soon would go for good one there in pain reclining, unpardoned, unadued. Silently screened from view her tragedy was ending, that need not have come due had she been less unbending. How near, near were we two at that last vital rending, and neither of us knew. To my father's violin, does he want you down there in the nether glooms, where the hours may be a dragging load upon him, as he hears the axle grind round and round of the great world, in the blind still profound of the night time? He might live at the sound of your string, revealing you had not forgotten him. In the gallery west the nave, but a few yards from his grave, did you, tucked beneath his chin, to his bowing guide the homely harmony of the choir who for long years strenuously sung and sire caught the strains, that at his fingering lower higher from your four thin threads and F-holes came out flowing. And to, what merry tunes he would bow at nights or noons, that chanced to find him bent to lute a measure, when he made you speak his heart as in dream, without book or music chart, on some theme elusive as a jack-o'-lanthorn's gleam, and the psalm of duty shelved for a trill of pleasure. Well, you cannot, alas, the barrier overpass that screens him in those mournful meads hereunder, where no fiddling can be heard in the glades of silentness, no bird thrills the shades, where no viol is touched for songs or serenades, no bowing wakes a congregation's wonder. He must do without you now, stir you no more anyhow to yearning concords taught you in your glory, while, your strings a tangled wreck, once smart drawn, 10 worm wounds in your neck, purflings wan with dust hoar, here alone I sadly con your present dumbness, shape your olden story. 1916. The Statue of Liberty, this Statue of Liberty, busy man, Here wrecked in the city square, I have watched while your scrubbings, this early morning, strangely wistful, and half tristful, have turned her from foul to fair, with your bucket of water, and mop, and brush, bringing her out of the grime, that has smeared her during the smokes of winter with such glumness in her dumbness, and aged her before her time. You have washed her down with motherly care head, shoulders, arm, and foot, to the very hem of the robes, that drape her all expertly and alertly, till a long stream, black with soot, flows over the pavement to the road, and her shape looms pure as snow. I read you are hired by the city guardians maybe yearly, or once merely to treat the statue so. H. I'm not hired by the councilman, to cleanse the statues here. I do this one as a self-will duty, not as paid to, or at all made to, but because the doing is dear. Ah, then I hail you brother and friend. Liberty's knight divine. What you have done, would have been my doing, yea, most verily, well, and thoroughly, had but your courage been mine. H. I care not for liberty's mold, liberty charms not me. What's freedom but an idler's vision, vain, pernicious, often vicious, of things that cannot be. Emery it is that brings me to this of a daughter my one sweet own. She grew a famous carver's model, one of the fairest, and of the rarest. She sat for the figure as shown. But alas, she died in this distant place, before I was warned to bedeck myself to her side. And in love of my darling, in love of the fame of her, and the good name of her, I do this for her sake. Answer I gave not. Of that form the carver was I at his side. His child, my model, held so saintly, grand in feature, gross in nature, in the dens of vice had died. The background and the figure lovers ditty. I think of the slope where the rabbits fed, of the periwinks' rockwork glare, of the fuchsias ringing their bells of red, and the something else seen there. Between the blooms where the sod basked bright, by the bobbing fuchsia trees, was another and yet more eyesome sight the sight that rich in these. I shall seek those beauties in the spring, when the days are fit and fair, but only as foils to the one more thing, that also will flower there. The change? Out of the past there rises a week who shall reap the years, oh. Out of the past there rises a week enriched with a purple zone. Out of the past there rises a week, when thoughts were strung too thick to speak, and the magic of its lineaments remains with me alone. In that week there was heard a singing who shall spell the years, the years. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.